this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. We have some wonderful guests on today. In the first half, we have co-author Rachel DeLory with the book Heal Thyself. And in the second half, we have author Sarah Ockwell Smith with her book Gentle Discipline. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
While obesity in pregnancy has long been linked to a higher risk for complications during childbirth, there's now another reason to avoid it. A late start to breast milk production. That's the finding from a new study of more than 200 women with newborns who planned to breastfeed. The researchers found that delays in lactogenesis, the production of breast milk within 3 days of delivery, occurred more frequently among women who were obese at the time of delivery. The study highlights an issue many new moms have to deal with, said one pediatrician who reviewed the new study. Breastfeeding is hard for all mothers, said Dr. Sophia Jan, who directs pediatrics at Cohen Children's Medical Center in New Hyde Park, New York. The new study was led by Diane Spatz, a professor of nutrition at the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing. She and her colleagues tracked the onset of breast milk production in 216 women who gave birth to single babies. The study will be published November 1st in the Journal of Human Lactation. Patients who have neurosurgery overnight are more likely to have complications than those whose operations occurred during the day, a new study finds. Risk of complications was 50% higher when surgeries began between 9 p.m. and 7 a.m., said University of Michigan researchers. They reviewed more than 15,800 neurosurgical procedures and their outcomes. When accounting for the length of the surgery, the research team found the odds of a complication more than doubled. Patients in the study underwent neurosurgery in the University of Michigan Health System between 2007 and 2014. There were 785 complications, including mild medication reactions, infections, heart attack, and death. The study was published recently in the journal Neurosurgery. Although the number of people diagnosed with diabetes is still on the rise, the good news is that most people with the disease know they have it, a new study shows. The research suggests that over the past 2.5 decades, the percentage of undiagnosed cases has dropped significantly. Study author Elizabeth Selvin said if you're going to your doctor, you probably don't have to worry about undiagnosed diabetes. She is a professor of epidemiology at Johns Hopkins University's Bloomberg School of Public Health. Selvin explained that previous estimates suggested over 25% to 30% of people with diabetes probably didn't know it. But those estimates assumed that doctors were only doing one test for diabetes and not following up with a confirmatory second test, as the American Diabetes Association recommends. The findings were published October 23rd in the Annals of Internal Medicine. Nearly half of American children have faced at least one traumatic experience, such as the death of a parent, witnessing a violent crime, or living with someone who is suicidal or abuses drugs or alcohol, new research reveals. These events can trigger high levels of stress, which can have serious and lasting effects on children's development, health, and overall well-being, according to researchers at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. They noted, however, that effective parenting, supportive neighbors, involved schools, and teaching kids how to be resilient can all help reduce these harmful effects. Every child deserves a healthy start, said Richard Besser, president and CEO of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, which funded the research. The analysis was published in the September-October issue of the journal Academic Pediatrics.
We have Rachel DeLory with us today, co-author of Heal Thyself. And Rachel is a Reiki practitioner and has studied many modalities of healing. But today we have her speaking about her book, Heal Thyself. So welcome, Rachel.
Thank you. Welcome. Happy to be here.
And the book is just brand new out this year, isn't it?
Yes, it came out June 15th this year.
And what led you to write a book like this?
Well, what inspired me is a girlfriend from Montreal, Angela, sent me a link to see if I would be interested in sharing my story, the stuff that happened in my life. Because whatever we go through in life, we always have ends up giving us a story. But the most important part is what we've done to change and heal ourselves. So that's, and I thought that was the best part for me to be able to share from the bottom of my heart what went on, because there's so many other people that go through what I've been through, but sometimes we just don't know where to get the help. But in the book itself, it teaches that, how we can help ourselves.
And how did it come about that there's three women writing the book?
Well, I've extended the same courtesy to my friend Jackie and also to Melanie. So after I got the link and I shared it with them, because they had different stories that I knew would touch other people also, and they could help other people with whatever they went through.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about your personal journey.
My personal journey is, when I was growing up, I was born and raised in a French community back in Ontario. There was 10 of us, 10 kids in the family. And what happened is that my dad just did whatever he knew. And for him, if it was physical abuse, and verbal and emotionally. And that's how that happened throughout growing up. So for me, when I was meeting men, for partners, they were had to be the same like my dad. Not that they weren't physically abusive, but they were verbal and emotionally. And it was a real rat race trying to get out of that until I was given the tools to help me build myself up.
What do your siblings, you came from a large family, have your siblings read this book now?
Yes, yeah, they have.
And what kind of feedback are you getting?
It triggered quite a few of my family members with some of the stuff that I wrote about. They had buried it deep inside of them, because when we go through emotional or whatever kind of trauma, we always seem to try to bury it. So if we don't see it, it never existed. But for them, it brought it up, and they had to do something about it, because that's when we end up being sick, is from... It's been proven over and over with emotional traumas and physical, that's what causes illnesses and disease. So yeah, it helped them to take care of their own life and look at that stuff that happened many years ago.
So as they go back and feel that, the healing begins for the whole family.
That's correct, yeah. The best part is that it breaks the pattern that's been going on for not only myself, but when my dad died back in 2010, it was years later that I realized that my dad had been physically abused and verbal and emotionally. So we tend to give back the only thing that we know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the idea of abuse has changed over the decades too. What was the norm maybe in the 50s or 60s is now considered abusive. So there's been a big shift and change in how people relate and speak and talk.
That's correct, yeah.
Is your mother still alive?
Oh, yeah, my mom is 92.
Yeah. So is she aware of your book?
Beg your pardon?
Is she aware of your book too?
She's heard about it, but I don't believe she's read it. She lives in Ontario still.
Okay. Yeah. And you say, like, from the experience with your father, that all your other partners had some sort of the same relationship as you had to your dad. How does that work?
Well, what it was is that my dad, whenever he told us something, you had to do it the exact same way he told you to do. So you become ingrained that you can't think for yourself, and you the only way you can please someone is doing what they're asking you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you lose yourself throughout all the different relationships, because that's all that I was doing, is just giving to the man that I was married with what I felt that he wanted, but my needs were never ever met, because in order to be loved by my dad, I had to do exactly what he wanted to do. So that was part of my programming, is that with my husband, that's what I felt, that I had to give him everything and not expecting anything in return for him to be able to love me.
Mm-hmm. And where did the shift happen for you that you were able to want to tell the world and explain how this all goes about?
Well, after the last relationship that I left June 15th on 2016, it was the same pattern again, as I was with someone that was doing what he wanted to do and verbally and emotionally putting me down. And then that's when I realized that I had to do something, because I kept crying all the time. I wasn't happy. I was trying to give him what I felt he needed.
Mm-hmm.
But none of my needs were ever met. but that's when I realized that I needed to do something for me and stand up and set boundaries, which is something that I had never done before, because I didn't never wanted to hurt anyone.
Yeah.
But I was hurting someone, which was me. And once you learn to stand up for yourself, so I had to learn. It was a huge process for me to learn to love myself and not expect or wanting to do things in order to please your partner, but your needs are not met. So for me, that was the real awakening for me, and I took a lot of different training. Another one that I took was called The Process. And again, it talks about all that kind of stuff so that you learn to set boundaries and learn to love yourself one day at a time and not put yourself down all the time.
Wonderful. So has this been the absolute best year of your whole life learning this?
Yes, it has been, definitely, because if you would have met me a year ago to who I am today, totally different. It's not that it's always easy setting boundaries with family and friends, but when you learn to say that, because a lot of the time people will ask you to do something and you really don't want to because it doesn't sit well with you, and I always felt guilty by saying no to someone. I would say no, but then I would end up doing it anyways. But that was somewhere where I learned when I say no, it means no, because if it doesn't sit right in my heart, I just don't do it anymore.
And so that's what self-love means to you now?
Self-love, yeah, is taking care of my needs first, loving myself, setting my boundaries.
And how do you see that changing in your relationships all around you, in your family, in all the close relationships that you've been in through both times, from your awakening to self-love and through the past? Do they see a big change?
They definitely do, because, see, normally they would ask me something. An example would be my son. If he would ask for me to watch my grandkids, maybe it was not appropriate time for me, and instead of saying I just can't do it because I have other things planned, I would do it, but then in the back I would always feel guilty for having done it when I had things that I needed to do for myself. And he's very proud of me for having stood up and said, I'm sorry, but I'm not able to this time.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is. It's very empowering to know that your voice is worth.
So if people are picking up your book, Heal Thyself, is it mostly just stories about women and how they heal, or is there some workbook to it? How does this help people?
Well, there's a lot of different, there's 31 of us in the book. There's 5 of us in Canada, and the rest are from the U.S. Every single one have different stories. They all have different websites that they can go to, because by reading the stories, what will happen is you will say, oh, I connect with this person more. So you can go on their website. And there's also an interview that we did after the book was out, where you can go and listen to. There's also free tips that we've given all the different authors. We've all given and shared tips to help people. So there's a variety of stories to help a variety of people.
And do you see new stories coming out of it from the people that have read your book?
Yeah, there's quite a few ladies that have read the book, and one of them in particular could really relate, because she was born in a strong Catholic family also, with large family. So she really connected with my story, and so we've been chatting back and forth, and she was able to pick up strength and knowing that she was not the only one. So, and other people too that I've heard through Facebook and that kind of stuff that we've promoted the book, all had a different response also, is that there's always someone that has a similar story with us, and then they can pick up.
So sharing our stories is very powerful.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to have to go to a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about how you feel to be on the right path and how you find out when you are on the right path. Okay? Quick break and we'll be right back.